This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:17 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Chen Li. In the meantime, let's talk about the independence of the court system in Malaysia. So last weekend, the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission, or MACC, confirmed that a probe was initiated on senior judge Datuk Muhammad Nazlan Muhammad Ghazali following allegations that 1 million ringgit was wired into the judge's bank account. He was the same judge who tried and found Datuk Sri Najib Razak guilty of misappropriating funds from SRC International.
This has triggered outcry from legal experts and MPs that MACC is undermining the judiciary's independence and going against the separation of powers in government. So for some background, just before MACC began its investigation, a fugitive Malaysian blogger posted an article accusing Judge Nazlan of having unexplained wealth in his bank account. And MACC Chief Commissioner has since clarified that an investigation began due to reports lodged, not from claims but were made on portals or social media.
So does this probe of MACC raise concerns on the independence of Malaysia's judicial system? And what is the standard procedure if a judge has allegedly breached the code of ethics? For some answers on this, we speak to Datuk Ma Hueng Kwai, a commissioner at Suhakam. Datuk Ma, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us today. Could we start by maybe getting an idea of the mechanisms in place to deal with alleged breach of ethics by judges? When does the process start? And how is a frivolous allegation distinguished from another which actually warrants further investigation?
Good morning, BFM, and thank you for having me. It's a bit early in the morning, but it's very nice to talk to you about a very serious matter that has hit the headlines. Let me start by saying something which is very fundamental, and that is no one is above the law. I say this because people must not have the perception to think that, oh, judges, being who they are above the law and nobody can reproach them. But I think having said that, what is most important is how do we go about dealing with a problem if there are breaches of the law? So I want to talk about the process. And what is really important is that in Malaysia today, we have what is known as a code of ethics. This was first drawn up long time ago in 1994, but amended in the year 2000. And this is under the federal constitution, in particular, Article 1 to 5, Clause 3A of the FC. So the big question, the big debate today is whether or not MACC should investigate a report purportedly lodged against the judge, or whether this should be dealt with by the Judicial Ethics Committee. Now, my take on this is that while, as I say, no one is above the law, and anyone who's alleged to have broken the law ought to be investigated, there should be inquiries made. But I would say that this is a case where a matter should be brought before the Judicial Ethics Committee under the Code of Ethics, because they have all the powers to investigate and to mete out whatever sanctions if there is, in fact, a proven breach. So one must understand the purpose of the Code of Ethics that judges have to comply once they are sworn in as a judge.
Okay, so Datuk Ma, let's expand on that, right? You referenced the judge's code of ethics. What are the standards required of a court official then? What does it specify?
Right, the code of ethics is a code of conduct for judges to follow. And there are many reasons or many purposes for this code. And I think if I can just relate just a few of them. And I think the first objective of this code is that to ensure that it is a self-regulatory mechanism where judges ought to understand what their duties are and they have to act ethically and what we refer to as the self-regulatory function. Secondly, of course, is that this is an assertive function of the code, and that is to ensure that there's independence of the judiciary from other branches of government. Third is the public confidence function, and this is very important, so that you and I, members of the public, will be able to pick up a copy of the code and read and see what are the judge's responsibilities. And last but not least, of course, is that this is something which ought not to be should not arise, and that is the government control function. Unfortunately, there can be an argument, a case made up to say that government can control judges through the ethics system. So, but that's something which is, of course, not to be encouraged at all. But in answer to your question, what are the types of allegations, or what are the duties of a judge that if he's in breach, he will find himself in a hot spot? Well, it ranges from very basic things to, for example, being absent from the court without proper leave. Gone are the days where judges used to finish at 3 o'clock and find themselves in the golf course at 4 o'clock. That doesn't happen anymore. To not writing judgments timelessly, of course, on the other end of the spectrum would be using the judicial position for personal advantage. So, things like corruption or granting favors and so on, all this will be caught under the do's and don'ts of the Code of Ethics.
Okay, and if we look at our past record, our history in Malaysia, have there been cases where court officials, judges were found guilty of breaching the judges' Code of Ethics and subsequently removed from their post?
No, to my knowledge, there has not been any case of anyone being removed for breaches of the Code of Ethics. The closest and quite a recent one, of course, is the case of Justice Hamid Sultan, where he was brought before the Code of Ethics. Remember, he made revelations of corrupt practices and so on at the Malaysian Law Conference. He was brought up before the committee, and he was found liable and suspended for 6 months. So for removal, no.
So is it normal practice for MACC to investigate allegation of breach of ethics or corruption of judges?
Well, this is the $64,000 question. While the power is there, I mean, once a report has been lodged, of course we expect the police, and in this case MACC, to get into groove and do things that they should, that they're obliged to. But that applies generally where there's no separate process, no separate system for such a course of action. Here, we have a specific set of rules, a specific code, which is which has been brought about through the amendment of the Constitution. And the whole idea behind this is to maintain the independence of the judiciary, to ensure that the integrity of the judiciary is not compromised in any way. Because whether it is for real or a perception, the moment you have MACC coming in and to investigate on a report, this in itself, to me, amounts to an infringement, an impingement of the code of the powers of the judiciary under the Code of Ethics. So there should be a very clear dividing line, so that you do not have MAC coming in to investigate what could otherwise be a very ordinary. Let's say a judge has just committed a simple breach. Yes, maybe dishonesty is involved and so on. But then there is a process already set out in detail for the judiciary to handle this. And I don't think it is good for a external third-party investigator to come to investigate, especially a judge who has held, who is in high office, is a sitting judge, and has decided on a very important case.
Okay, Dr. Ma, since we have you on the line, let's look at it from a different perspective, but staying within the legal profession. What are the rules with regards to lawyers? I mean, what are the standards before they can be actually disbarred?
Okay. Let's say you have a lawyer who puts his hand in a till, takes money from his client's account, and goes off to Genting, hoping to double it over the weekend, and brings the money back and puts it back in the till. Of course, technically, he has committed an offence of misappropriation. Now, arising from that kind of conduct, two things can happen. One, of course, is a police report is lodged, a police investigate, he will be subject to a criminal charge, if the evidence supports that. The other, of course, is that, and again, this is a very specific procedure and process, is that he will be subject to the Advocates and Solicitors Disciplinary Board, which is a board set up under the Legal Profession Act. There we have a chairman of the board, and together with him, there will be, if not mistaken, about 17 very senior lawyers representing the bar seated, and they meet very often to deal with breaches of conduct by lawyers. And the power of the investigating committee, with disciplinary committee, once they find that there is a case established, then the matter goes up to the board for final decision, and also for the penalty, the sanction by the board. And that can range from a slap on the knuckles, that's a warning. Mm. It can go up to a fine. It can go up to a suspension from practice. And of course, to a lawyer, the most draconian penalty would be to strike him off the rolls.
Okay.
That means he cannot practice anymore.
So, Dr. Ma, we get this impression that the judiciary and the legal system is, the lawyers tend to be self-regulating. And from an outsider's perspective, is that fair, though? I mean, do we then get the sense that the outcomes are not biased?
Well, this is definitely something of a challenge. Let's talk about the Ethics Committee first, the Judiciary Ethics Committee. Yes, there must be strong, the committee must act strongly and independently to ensure that there's no conflict of interest, that there's no bias and no prejudice in favor or against anyone. And this is the challenge for the committee to meet. Similarly, for the Advocates and Solicitors Disciplinary Board, again, anyone who is having a conflict of interest should not be listening to the case. He should be disqualify himself, recuse himself. The advantage, of course, is that having a very specified system, the rules are quite clear. And the people who are investigating and who are going to hear the case up to the board level would be in a position to understand how the profession runs. Yeah, I mean, you talk about negligence. What better thing to do is to have a group of senior lawyers to evaluate what amounts to negligence. Yeah, they will be in a better position to know and to understand. Similarly with the judges, to have a committee to understand what's the meaning of misconduct, what is misbehavior. Yeah, so these are, of course, limitless, but it has to be within reasonable comprehension.
Okay, Datuk Ma. Thank you so much for that explanation. That was Datuk Ma Wen Kwai, Commissioner at Suhakam, talking to us about how the judiciary and legal professionals are held to account. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.